This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
It should be official by Friday. The U.S. House of Representatives passed Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan, paving the way for another round of stimulus checks. So how are you, America, figuring out how you're going to spend your stimulus money? Thinking of the bills that you could pay off, or, because some of it's not targeted, taking a vacation? I know someone who's buying a kayak. There's all kinds of things that are going on with the stimulus. Good news is we're starting to see, as I mentioned the other day, some light at the end of the tunnel. Coming up in this hour, your thoughts on COVID, the vaccine, of course, always, and some other things that are happening with Andrew Cuomo. More women are coming out of the woodwork. Plus, we're going to go to Vegas. Oliver Lovett will join us. He has the skinny on everything opening up Vegas style. It is opening up. Yeah. They've already vaccinated so many of the entertainers there, and they've had just a 6% positive testing rate for COVID-19. So I think in Vegas, the city that never talks. Remember what stays in Vegas, that whole thing? I guess now who cares, right? After the pandemic. But a city that normally would welcome about 43 million visitors a year. Now, as we talked off the air today, he told me 19 and change because of the pandemic last year. So things are about to turn in the neon city. How are they turning for you when it comes to this relief plan? The sprawling bill passed on a party line vote, with Republicans arguing that the recovery is already in progress and little to no additional spending really is necessary. The text of the bill was pretty interesting. I looked at lots of it this afternoon. Here are some of the basics. Of course, $1,400 checks to individuals making $75,000 or less, couples making $150,000 or less, an extension of the $300 per week jobless aid, a major expansion of the child credit for 1 year, $20 billion for vaccine manufacturing, $50 billion for testing and tracing efforts, $25 billion for rent assistance, $10 billion for mortgage assistance, $350 billion for state, local, and tribal governments, $120 billion to K through 12 schools, subsidies for health insurance coverage, and no minimum wage hike, which I think you know that trickled down really last week, but that's not happening. So when I look at this on the surface, you know, it's interesting. This stimulus was needed. I think some stimulus was needed, especially for small businesses. And the backbone of America is built on capitalism, small businesses that sometimes become big businesses that employ a lot of people. But the stimulus plan was trumpeted by and led by, of course, politicians and economists. But one of the things that they didn't take, I think, enough into account was some of the people on the lower levels. When I say lower levels, I just mean on the ground, locally and regionally, because they see how important and how meaningful and impactful a stimulus can be when, guess what? It's not blanketed. When it's targeted. When it's targeted. Because that's what's necessary. So you think about this with the Paycheck Protection Program. Smaller businesses will then have the key to a bunch of money, access to funds. But while this is, that whole debate was going on, you got to look at this. You have to look, I think, at the people who in the past got that PPP and what they do with that money. Because remember, initially, the first time around, it was all about employment, that you could make your payroll. But a lot of what's happened with businesses is they had to reimagine, rethink, and everything else in between their businesses. So they had to come up with a pivot, I hate that word, and focus on other things. So what happened instead, money went to technology. Money went to things that had to be altered. They're leveraging their money in a much different way. And so that's why, to me, targeted approaches, listening to what's happening locally, listening to what's happening regionally is so critical. And to me, that's my fear of when you have this flood of money. It just, poof, it appears. And it's so necessary. And trust me, Republicans and Democrats wanted that money. Meaning, I'm not saying the politicians, because it was absolutely not bipartisan. It was a fail on the bipartisan effort. It was completely passed by Democrats. But I'm saying Republicans, when surveyed, who needed money, who needed employment benefits extended, who needed that help, absolutely, when they were asked, what do you think of the stimulus, they wanted the money. So now it's coming. How it gets dispersed, it's just like before. It's a mystery. It appears in your account if you have direct deposit. If not, it's a check that will trickle in the mail. Some people will get it early. Some people will complain and they get it later and they don't understand. But you'll get it if you are eligible, and the requirements are simple. It's monetary. It's what your last taxes were. That show from really 2019 is what this would be based on, unless you've filed and made a ton of money during the pandemic, then all bets are off and you wouldn't be on that list. But then I guess you wouldn't need it, right? So that makes sense. As I mentioned, in the mailbag, many of you were concerned about Cuomo. I think it's a lot of the people listening to us in the Northeast, and then some other places too. So in a statement, Cuomo denied a new claim that was reported in a newspaper in Albany about the governor aggressively groping a female aide at the governor's mansion. He's saying, denying. This is the sixth woman to come forward to claim sexual harassment or inappropriate conduct by the Democratic governor. Now they're saying a groping thing? This could be a criminal investigation. But he keeps repeating, as I said, I have never done anything like this. That Attorney General's report is so important, and he says he is confident in the results of the AG's findings. Oh, how the world turns in Cuomo's world and in the state of New York. We're flipping to the mailroom. Meet you.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Ha is right. All right, so Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, 24/7, baby. We're open, calorie free. You can flip me your thoughts anytime, day or night. Mac Attack says, in Mizzou, I'm listening to you. Cuomo's world is crumbling. Why would he not resign? I think that his ego will get the better of him. He should step aside, especially if he knows who he's offended, it's only going to get worse. Well, you are a prophet, Mac Attack, because I just mentioned the fact that he's got another accuser, this former aide's 25, and he asked her invasive questions about her personal life during a one-on-one at the meeting at the Capitol, including the whole older man thing. And this seems to be, I mean, what is the deal here with this older man thing? But this seems to be something that he's done, at least listening, allegedly, from these women one or two times. That's been the verbiage that he's used, right? So, you know, I agree. If you're getting blasted like this, where there's smoke, is there fire? But he's saying no, he's digging his heels in. It hasn't happened. It's not true. It's blah, blah, blah. It didn't mean anyone to feel awkward. But if this latest thing in talking about, being touched inappropriately and there is something there and that can be proven, well, yeah, that's a whole different thing. So follow the bouncing ball and we'll see if Cuomo goes. Doug in Texas. Hey, Kate, I know that you're up on all things sports besides everything else. I think you're brilliant. If I didn't love my wife so much and you weren't married, ooh, boy, would I appropriately ask you out. Oh, please, Doug. And Doug goes on to say, what is happening as far as baseball stadiums opening for, like, the first day of the season, etc.? Are there going to be tickets that are going to be sold, you know, at full capacity, or what does that look like? I think it varies from team to team. The Texas Rangers, it's funny, you know, in Texas, they're saying opening day is 100% capacity, which I haven't heard that from any other team. Like Chicago, the Cubs and the White Sox, they're going to open but 20%. So a lot of people are hoping that they're going to be able to do the stadium thing and get the tickets, because if what you would normally get in like a Chicago, if you get down to 20%, you're talking about 8,200 fans, give or take, in either one of those parks. So that's interesting. And the Rangers, though, are the shocker. The Rangers are the shocker compared to everybody else, because they're the only one that I could find that is allowing 100% attendance for that April 5th opener against the Jays. I mean, they're the first one that they have. You know, the plan is to have up to 40,000 fans. They have to be wearing masks in the stadium, they're saying. But because the state is fully open, they're taking advantage of that. So they're going to sell the tickets and put the health protocols in place. And fans have to wear masks except for eating or drinking, which is the whole time you're watching a game. And tailgating is banned. So no tailgating. They're not going to do that. That would normally be pretty big, too. But I was very surprised that Globe Life Field, I mean, and this is brand new. That park was built and not used. I mean, for tours and social distancing, but it sat for a season where there weren't fans. So this will be pretty interesting to see if others will ramp up quickly. I'm sure all eyes will be on the state of Texas. This one is from Frank. Kate, what's happening with the vaccines, and how quickly will we reach herd immunity, do you think? Let me put on my scientist hat here. That's right, I got that degree. I know you're asking what I've heard and what I know and, you know, what they're saying at the CDC and what some of the top infectious disease experts are saying, that we've made a really huge step toward that pre-pandemic normal, but we're still not there yet. I mean, the whole thing is you're going to get that herd immunity. That's what, you know, we're on the cusp of that. We're at a critical point trying to get everybody vaccinated that can possibly get vaccinated, that wants it. So once that all kicks into place, I mean, that's the idea. You give it a couple of weeks and then it's you go from there, and then we should have herd immunity. But so we're not there. And I think that that's part of that whole premature of when is the door open, when is it not. I mean, the tide can turn, and hopefully it turns in a really big, big way. You know, when you get into the 80s of getting, you know, 80%, that's when you get to that herd immunity. Or maybe some are saying, like Fauci was saying, 70-some percent. And that was the number we kept hearing all along, and I don't think that number has changed. And there are more and more vaccines that are going out. That's an absolute. So yeah, I do think we get there. I do. The way it's looking, wouldn't it be great if it was by June? What if it's before June? Here's one about the stimulus. Tom, listening to us in the great state of Oregon, in Portland, he says, wow, not a bipartisan success, a failure on that front, but I think so many people need relief of some sort. It would just be cruel to dangle that carrot around, whether you like everything in the bill or not, when so many people need it. So thank goodness, in a sense, Kate, that this bill is getting approved and will become a reality for people whose reality has been a nightmare. My thoughts exactly. I mean, it is a fail when it comes to bipartisan, but it wasn't looking like that was going to happen really ever from the start in the way the conversation was going. But again, necessary when, through no fault of their own, people lost XYZ livelihoods and are doing everything they can to patch it together. But you're in a pandemic, man. I mean, you know, how are you patching it together if you had that job that was just completely axed and then you're, you know, sometimes it sounds as though, oh, there's so many jobs. In normal times, there may be easier ways to get some of those jobs, and people have picked up gig jobs and stuff in between. But boy, it's not what people think out there. And then there's the underemployed. This one I like. This is from Joe, who says, Kate, I know you're a fan of Hawaii. In fact, I think you spoke in Hawaii. And I'm wondering what you make of what's happening with the floods. It's got to be devastating to Maui and some of those other islands. You know what? Hawaii, what happened was that a dam burst, right? Like in Maui. So the governor declared a state of emergency after the floods, and that dam bursting was terrible, but it was, of course, heavy rain that prompted evacuations there, and at least a dozen homes were damaged, excuse me, or destroyed. And it's awful. I mean, weather concerns have hovered over Hawaii overnight, etc. I mean, I looked at Maui and I saw places that I had the privilege of being that just looked completely washed out. And it was the that reservoir dam in the Haiku area of Maui that that caused so much damage, a bridge, everything. I mean, just unprecedented flood damage, fast moving water. It's pure luck, I think, in some ways, that there was no deaths in this. It affected like 150 homes. So it was bad, and people were told not to come back to the area until it was safe to do that. And it's pretty difficult to look at this and not and to see how they're being washed away. Just absolutely awful, awful, awful. We're taking it to Vegas next. Stay with us.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden announced Wednesday that the federal government would order another 100 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. calling it a necessary move to ensure the nation is prepared for any contingency.
Today, I'm directing Jeff and my HHS team to produce another 100 million doses and purchase another 100 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'm doing this because in this wartime efforts, we need maximum flexibility. There's always a chance that we'll encounter unexpected challenges, or there'll be a new need for a vaccine effort, a vaccination effort. A lot can happen, a lot can change, and we need to be prepared.
Vaccination efforts in the U.S. have accelerated in the last several weeks, with more than 93 million doses administered and more than 32 million Americans fully vaccinated. This is USA Radio News. There was strong opposition from the Republican Party as the House gave its final approval to the $1.9 trillion emergency spending measure on Wednesday. John Clemens reports from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
The measure that was approved by the U.S. Senate March 6 passed in the House 220 to 211. GOP members like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia called it reckless, irresponsible, and the wrong thing to do because it will enslave future generations to a mountain of debt. Then there was House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
It showers money on special interests, but spends less than 9% on actually defeating the virus.
Jody Arrington is from Lubbock, Texas.
It's a $2 trillion blue state boondoggle and a Trojan horse for their reckless partisan policies.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
This is USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You know, folks, I was talking with my honey the other day, my Pablo honey. I said to her, I said, Pablo honey, I said, you go to my head, my radio head. Okay, computer.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather.
Oh, boy. I miss those sounds. The sounds of Vegas and hanging out in the lounge at a very, very late hour. But you know what? There's no clocks on the wall and there's no one to tattle. I used to live there. And I discovered the excitement of Cookie Jar and so many others. Right now in our virtual green room, Oliver Lovett is with us. He is a leading researcher, academic, writer, strategy consultant, and he's an expert in customer-facing real estate and the evolution of Las Vegas. In fact, he is a serving on the faculty at the University of London Business School in London, and he's a contributor to many exciting magazines and periodicals that I myself read. The Global Gaming Business, he's a columnist at Gaming America and Gambling Insider Mag. So, and he knows about the strategic trends in Las Vegas. Oliver, thanks so much for coming on.
How are you?
I'm excellent. I miss my Vegas fix. I lived in Vegas for 4 years, and everyone in my life crawled out from every corner, every nook, every cranny to come and visit. It was exciting and fun. I got to know a lot of people, and it's very weird to see this past year when the lights went dim on the Strip, but now the lights are being turned up, I hear. What's happening in Vegas?
Well, the governor is due to announce that, you know, next week the restrictions will be lifted and we'll be at 50% capacity for showrooms and casinos and restaurants. The shows then crank up with, you know, like the Absinthe opening up the following week. And, you know, we're expecting Las Vegas to have a, you know, a strong recovery leading up to September. And then conventions start rolling back towards the end of the year, 2022. And we get this, you know, COVID nightmare behind us and go on to be the greatest city in the world again.
There you go. I love that attitude. It's perfect. And you have the excellent Nevada accent. Where'd you get that accent? Via Scotland,
yeah.
Right?
From the streets of Scotland, streets of Glasgow. It's funny. So when I first came to Las Vegas back in 97, there were no direct flights from the UK. And if you wanted to come here, you had to go via Dallas to Chicago. And I visited with my parents on a road trip when I was 21. And I said, Dad, I want to live in this city. You know, it was in the 90s, the Bellagio was being built, Paris was being built. And he said, this is not a city for a nice middle-class boy from Glasgow. And it took me 20-odd years, but I made it out here in the end.
And did it live up to your expectations?
Well, unfortunately, I've lived in several cities in Europe. And I think there is something unique and special about Las Vegas. It really is the only 24-hour city that I've ever lived in. And if you're a night owl, and if you like, you know, going out for a beer at 2 o'clock in the morning or working through the night, it's a great place.
It is. That's what I said. There's no clocks on the wall. People would come and visit me, and, you know, if you wanted to get your dry cleaning done at 3 a.m., you could get that done. If you wanted to have lobster and steak, you could have that. You could have great music from whatever lounge, you know, you decided to crawl into, and that part of Vegas, there's no question. There is no time. It's like you lose track of time. So you said there's...
Sorry, carry on.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's not like London. If you live in London or New York, which are these other great 24-hour cities, so to speak, there's no respite. You know, you're stuck in them. You can drive for an hour and you're still in New York or still in London. We're here, you know, 20 minutes, you can be in the desert and have, you know, tranquility and solitude.
Yeah, that's true, and I experienced that when I lived there. I mean, you go to the Hoover Dam, you go beyond that, you can go to the Grand Canyon. You're right, the desert is absolutely right there. It's not about the desert, though, in getting ready for these shows. You mentioned the shows. So are they having rehearsals?
They are. I got a text message from a friend of mine today who sent me a video of some acrobats getting back into gear. And what's been difficult, I think, for many people who do the shows is they have to stay in shape. So if you're an athlete or you're performing something like Absinthe or Cirque, you know, you have to be at the peak of your physical ability. And if you're not doing shows, it's been very, very difficult, you know, for a lot of these athletes to, you know, stay in shape. But, you know, people are in rehearsals, and I just hope that, you know, people want to come back to Las Vegas and see these shows again.
Yeah, no kidding. You were telling me an interesting statistic about how many people normally come to Vegas versus what happened during COVID. It was a big drop, wasn't it?
Sure. So the last couple of years, we've been above over 40 million visitors. Last year, it was 43 and change. And what you saw as of March, the casinos closed down voluntarily, and then they were forcibly shut down by the governor. So we had a period where the casinos were shut. We've had no conventions, no international business this year. And we're looking at 19.5 million visitors in 2020. And what that says is, even despite the fact there's been no shows, no conventions, no concerts, no sport, people still want to come to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're calling it the Roaring Twenties, and I think things are going to explode big, and Vegas is going to be one of those places that is going to explode. Don't you feel that?
It wouldn't surprise me if next year is a record year for gaming revenue. I still think we'll be a little bit off in terms of visitation because I think the conventions will have a slower return and that some of that midweek visitation will be challenged. But I think I can tell you anecdotally, a lot of my friends from Europe and from all over the world, they are desperate to come to Las Vegas. And I'm sure your listeners are too. Everybody just wants to meet up in Las Vegas. And, you know, geographically, we're, you know, a couple of hours from everywhere. And it's much more fun meeting in Las Vegas than it is meeting in, you know, Denver.
Yeah, no offense to the people in Denver. I agree. And it is a meet-up place, and it's different than what Vegas used to be like or what people thought it was like. I mean, it's just got a little of this and a little of that. There's always something to do. And so the vaccination process, it sounds like, went smoothly or is going smoothly. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, the frontline workers, a lot of them are being vaccinated. So the casinos are generally becoming much more safer. And, you know, the spread is not as bad as it is in other cities. I think 9% of the population of Nevada have been vaccinated by now. And what you're seeing is because of those vaccinations, the city is opening up things that are just completely shut in other cities. I mean, Omnia Nightclub opened its terrace over the weekend, with a limited capacity, but it's an outdoor terrace nightclub. And the pool parties, I mean, the weather's been great here. So the pool parties opened last week. Granted, socially distanced and with reduced capacity. But if you go to California, California's a ghost town. Las Vegas, if you wandered out there, other than the face masks, which are compulsory still, you wouldn't realize how bad this pandemic has been, especially over the last 12 months.
Yeah. You know, you did some research on Vegas and what people were coming for, and, you know, kind of the, it's interesting, you did a blog that I was reading earlier today, Is Las Vegas Missing a Marketing Opportunity, and City of Signs, and tell us about that and what you learned.
Well, this is me being an academic now, because I think Las Vegas is one of the most interesting cities in the world to study, and if I may, if anyone who's interested in business or competitive strategy, I was interested in reading my work, just take a step back and have a look at Las Vegas. Because for a long time, it was like a malign city. You know, people said it was a sunny place for shady people. Whereas the history of the 70s, 80s, 90s, academic rigor and study of Las Vegas became something of some note. My hypothesis is, if you look at the Strip and Fremont, the casinos are selling the same product at the same time, in the same place, to the same people, in the same price. You know Las Vegas. You can go and play a blackjack table at the Wynn, which is probably the leading property in town, and it's the same blackjack that you're playing at Circus Circus or Excalibur, which are completely different properties looking for different customers. So the challenge you have from a business perspective is, how can you drive competitive advantage within the market if you're selling the same product?
Right. Yeah, fascinating. Where can people find you, Oliver?
I'm on Twitter. I'm Ollie Lovett, OlyLovat. And I post on LinkedIn and, again, the magazines that you mentioned.
Perfect. Well, I can't wait till we meet up in Vegas. Ollie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
All right. Oliver Lovett from Las Vegas, talking about the city that never sleeps, really. They say New York is the city that never sleeps, but honestly, it is Vegas. And you heard what he said. You'll see the gaming, the shows, all that stuff, of course, opens up. But the big conventions, there were so many conventions that went to Vegas. In fact, as a speaker, as me out there speaking, the two biggest places for conventions in the United States, Orlando, Florida, and Las Vegas, just on the same par right there. And I think they both bounce back, but I do believe he's right. It happens late in the fall and really into 2022. Mic drop, that's coming up.
Hi, this is Kate. Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Come on to my house, to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes and. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house.
Yeah, come on to my house.
Come on to my house.
It's only going to cost me a couple thousand dollars to buy a place in Italy. What do you think, listeners? You want to come along? We can build the town ourselves. I even have a great name for it, Partito. Partito, Italy. That means party. So our own party town. I'm not kidding about this. I got a couple of people who have emailed me about, would you ever want to live in Italy? Well, what kind of question is that? They send me pictures that look like something that you have never seen in your life, this incredible green, lush area, beautiful skies, amazing views of everything, and this ancient, sweet town with a castle in the middle of it. Do I want to live in Italy? And I'm thinking, have you lost your mind? So here's the deal. You have to refurbish a place, right, because it's really crumbling, but you can get a place for $2,300 to $5,900. And check this out. If they just say, okay, fine, you know, we're going to give you this house, this crumbling house that you have to fix up because you have to fix it up, It's an abandoned home, basically, in a quaint Italian town. You don't have to, if they agree to you taking it over, you sign on the dotted line, you don't even have to cough up the money in the beginning. They want newcomers. They want people to purchase the house of their dreams, and they want to make it easy for them. And you don't have to be Italian. And it's cool. It's in southern Italy, and it's in the Basilicata region. And they even have homes for €1. Do you want a $1 house? I mean, granted, you stand up against the wall, it's going to crumble around you, I'm certain. And they say that if you get one of these abandoned houses that are on the market in some of these charming spots in this region, that, I mean, the rules are the rules, which are hardly any. I mean, they're bargaining. They're like, yeah, take it over. Let's make it nice. That's it. And they're keeping the paperwork costs to a minimum. You remember, if you were a homeowner, what it was like when you had to sign away your life to buy your home? And really low taxes. Really, really low taxes. And you can be an American, like I said. So by the time you build up your home that is just like a squatter's den, basically, now, and there's about, in this region, there's about 50 or so buildings, maybe a little bit more, and they're stone and red brick homes, and they date back to the 1800s, and they're all in this old district close to the shops and bars. Oh, that would be so rough. And once you get it, what they're saying, in order to return the property to what it would look like, what it should look like, is it might take you maybe $15,000. So maybe the whole thing costs $15,000. Oh, and if this is radio, if I could just describe the views for you, it just would blow your mind. Now, if we do, it's a mic drop. It's a mic drop. If we do establish Partito and our own little development right there by the shops and the bars, we're going to have Italian lessons. Let's face it, unless some of you are fluent in Italian. But we could be a whole colony of expats. And I don't know, maybe it's just a vacation area because it's perhaps affordable. Get sponsorship, and there you go. You'd be right there nestled in the mountains. I don't know, it just blows my mind to think of it. I thought it was a joke, and I looked into it. I even asked my friend who's been to Italy, is this some kind of a scam? No scam, because the houses are, I mean, it's this beautiful area, but they're not going to build them up. They don't have the money. So you come in, you build them up, and then it's yours. It's your place. God knows what the plumbing would be like. But so that is our mic drop moment, which you heard, the mic drop. I'm at a loss for words. I really want to establish Partito, and we'll broadcast from Partito because we'll get, you know, of course it'll be, I'm sure, easy to get Wi-Fi in there, right? We'll just bring it all with us. Bring it all with us, and then we'll just have these little offshoot areas. Oh, wow. All right, so when I'm not fantasizing about my own town that I'm going to name Partito, and I get grounded again, and I look at what is happening around us, a lot is happening and a lot of conversation about what are you going to do first. A lot of grandparents seeing grandchildren, and I think that's wonderful that it's been a year and you know, life is fleeting. It's so quick. And the fact that some families have been able to be reunited because of the vaccine or protocols that they're observing, bravo. That's a good thing. In the meantime, some other things that are happening right under our noses. You know, everything about Warren Buffett, he's like the wise owl, right? And if you're an investor or you're somebody who wants to be an investor, and it doesn't cost a lot of money necessarily to invest, right? It costs some kind of savviness, and he is the wise owl. I mean, he's been at the top of the world's wealth rankings for decades. At 90 years old, his net worth is more than $100 billion. Yeah, it just happened. He just jumped up to that number on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Did you know such thing existed? The BBI? So he's the sixth member of the $100 billion club. Who do you think is in it? Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates. And, you know, fueled by what's happening, this, it just continues to be so, right? So, with, even with what we're going, what's going on with the pandemic, the wealth has grown more fueled by the government stimulus because of the central bank policies and the super surging equity market, meaning their money just multiplies again and again and again and again. I guess that's what they call serious mailbox money. Maybe that's just for normal people. It's a little bit different than that. But how about that? That is pretty notable to hit that number. And, you know, you think of how much money he's given away. So I like Buffett because he does genuinely give a ton of money, which he should, I think. He gives away a ton of money. He's donated more than $37 billion in stock since 2006 because he has a staggering amount. He's the co-founder of the Giving Pledge, which encourages philanthropy among billionaires. And that's a good thing because give, 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 right? Especially when you have it, you can't take it with you. What is it? I heard that Denzel Washington is quoted with this one saying that, you know, there's no U-Haul behind the hearse when they're burying you that can take all that money and do anything with it. So good for him for doing that. But pretty interesting, pretty significant. And in the meantime, again, back to Earth and very far away from the possibility of Partito, what's very, very sad is still people have lost their lives. I mean, U.S. deaths from COVID, 529,000. 529,000. And globally, Brazil COVID deaths in the last 24 hours, it's been scary, over 2,000. A record 2,286 deaths in the past 24. And that's a country of 212 million people. They've had the world's second highest death toll in the pandemic. And they're struggling with a crush of cases. So their hospitals are close to the breaking point. And, of course, the United States, number one, we know that. But this contagious, this more contagious variant of the virus, including one known as P1, is believed to have emerged in Brazil or around the Amazon rainforest. And that's part of what's been the woes of Brazilians. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.